And you're back with Annie and Tobiah on Solidarity Breakfast. And Don Sutherland's on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm good, Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about one of your favourite subjects, in actual fact. We're going to talk about the national wage case. People may often forget that this is one of the incredibly important levers for the lowest paid people in the Australian workforce.
Well, you're not the only one who forgets that it is one of the big three events that set the living standards in Australia. In fact, most people don't even know that. It is worth talking about. And a lot of people who do know it's that important don't actually strategize to the point that it is so important. And so it is worth taking a close look at what's going on in this year's annual wage review, because the battle over living standards is getting more intense, particularly because of the demands of warmongering that our Commonwealth government is up to its eyeballs in. I think it's probably best, after a couple of general remarks, if you and Tobiah just ask me questions, and I'll try and answer them, but questions that you think your listeners will be interested in. But
Okay. Well, first up...
remarks first, though. The annual wage review is, alongside of the Reserve Bank interest rate decisions and the Commonwealth budget, they are the key three events that set the overall minimum tone and standards, if you like, for living standards. And the annual wage review, in terms of an event that affects up to close to 3 million people directly in terms of the dollar outcome, it is the most important countervailing influence to the destruction wreaked by the Reserve Bank. So we've got to grab hold of that. So why don't we get stuck into some questions, and I'll do my very best to provide the information that you and your listeners are looking for.
Now, it was pointed out, because I've been to the Marxist conference, that that when Australia went into the neoliberal land with our eyes wide open, part of the deal for the working class was that the wages would keep abreast of inflation. Now, that's a bit stumbling, isn't it? And with the ACTU putting forward the concept that it should be 5%, that there should be an increase in wages of 5%, where do you think the keeping up with the inflation is really working? And is 5% enough?
Well, I don't think 5% is anywhere near enough as a claim. And that's because even though if it was achieved, it would be it would deliver only a marginal improvement on what has been lost in recent inflation trends. It does not go back to, say, 2021 or back to more serious analysis, 2014, where you can track the relative loss of wages relative to the cost of living. Of course, that we're talking about averages and medians and things like that. There is a minority of workers who have done much better than that, but they are a minority, and that they have natural bargaining power. That is, their skills are in very, very high demand. So I think 5% is a pretty disappointing claim. And the ACTU even, although I think the ACTU does leave it open to increase that claim relative to the economic information that's going to come out in the next month or so arising from the impact of the war.
I wonder, you said at the start that you think it's really a missed opportunity that people aren't strategizing around this specific thing. I wonder if what sort of proposal you would have for unions or organizations to really build a strategy around this and tackle it as a proposal to the working class that people could take on in a reasonable sense.
We jump then from the claim to the strategy to pursue it. I'm a bit like a broken record here because this year, again, the strategy, as it has always been in the past, is totally inadequate for what is required. The strategy is essentially obey the rules.
Yeah.
That is the claim, and pursue it strictly within the requirements of the law that the Fair Work Commission is required to follow, all set out in the Fair Work Act. And so one of the essential features of that is that workers who are dependent upon the annual wage review have been robbed systemically of their right to industrial action to reinforce their claim. It is a completely anti-democratic denial of a basic workers' right, which is the right to withdraw their labour. Now, getting to the point where workers on very low incomes can do that is another question of how you arrive at the point where they're willing to do that. So the starting point has got to be a lot more fundamental education by every single union, not just the ACTU. This is the responsibility of every single union to develop an education strategy so that people no longer walk around wondering what the hell the annual wage review is. And they realise that, and they work out then how the annual wage review influences enterprise bargaining, for example, and how it also influences about a third of the workforce who do personal one-to-one bargaining with their employer. Because the annual wage review sets the benchmark minimums for those one-to-one negotiations that we never hear anything about except in casual conversation. So it's a very big deal that requires a much better strategy. The purpose of that education work, that classic union education about wages and profits, the purpose is to arrive at a point where more and more workers are willing to take forms of action in defiance of the law to reinforce and put pressure on both the commission and the government to recognise they need a lot more than numbers like 5%.
Well, it's interesting when they do 5%, because when you do a bargain, traditionally you put forward a higher amount that then gets whittled down. Now, I'm assuming that if they're going to put forward 5%, they expect it to be whittled down.
Of course they do. Of course they do. And the employer claims are hovering around 3.5% at this stage. The ambit is somewhere between 5 and 3.5. When you get down to 4.5 and 4, then you don't have catch up plus a little bit extra. Sorry, you don't have keeping up with inflation plus a little bit extra to catch up. You are slipping further behind. And that is what the employers need. Their profit situation for employers in Australia requires that. They require downward pressure on wages relative to the prices that they demand of us when we go and buy stuff.
Well, so I was going to say that...
I don't understand, really, and I don't really see the logic of a 5% claim. And what you've hit upon is just one reason for that.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was that the working class... culturally understands the concept of fairness, while the business class couldn't give a damn about fairness.
Well, I think the two define it very differently. I think they do care about fairness. their version of fairness is that they need downward pressure on wages so that they can continue to employ people, and that's fair. That's a definition of fairness, actually, that has poisoned the thinking of a significant part of the workforce. And also, that poisoned approach to fairness, as defined by the employers, that sits in the heads of some of the right-wing union leaders and shapes their whole attitude. That's what shapes their attitude to such a weak strategy, where there is no development of any movement of workers for a better deal in this critical element of standard of living setting.
So what are you saying, that those right-wing union leaders are actually ersatz employer toadies?
The right wing of the union movement dominates the union movement these days. Right-wing union thinking, which is abide by the law, don't stretch the boundaries, don't engage workers collectively as agents of winning the better deal that they want, but leave it to technocratic submissions based upon consultation, not negotiation. Be respectful. They're the elements of right-wing unionism that now dominate our movement. And that's why we have this really fine line, and in general, a slipping behind relative to the cost of living in wages.
So you're saying that the strategy, one of the strategies for education around the national wage case, is for workers to actually realign themselves for their own focus on their own real benefits and rights and their own needs.
Well, a particular part of the working class at the moment is turning to the heroic Hanson as their solution to the raw deal they're getting. Now, they have every right to be very suspicious of the powers that have taken them to where they are. But to turn to Hansenism is going to make it worse. The real solution lies in how we mobilise those workers to join in collectively and take charge of the situation themselves and develop the forms of action based on deeper union education about how to confront the powers that dominate in the annual wage review. I am saying that. That's what we have to do. Now, getting to that point is very difficult because that is a distinctly minority. What I'm putting is a very minority point of view in our movement.
Well, one of the things that worried me about the huge rally that the AEU did the other day wasn't the mass of people that came to it, or that their needs were very well articulated by the people who had come and taken strike action, was that there was a lot of the rallying call was around things like union power rather than worker power. To me, it's a sort of a kind of a falsity, because it's implying that the worker doesn't have any agency. It's the union that has the agency. But actually, it's chicken before the egg.
Well, it depends how you define the union. If you define the union as its members, as a growing membership, then that's a legitimate slogan. But if you're defining the union as the union central, as an institution, then in the modern practice of unionism, it's very, very restricted. It doesn't entirely not do it, but it's very restrictive in how it goes about enabling workers to collectively be agents themselves of winning a better deal and a better society, for that matter.
So workers need to be clear in their heads. This is what this educational process is about.
Yes, and it must. It, it, it includes it has two or three elements to it. It's first the very basics of how the whole bloody system works and how it is statutorily set up to weaken the power of workers, collective power of workers. That's its purpose, and we have to change that. Conceptually, the idea of low-income workers being able to pursue an annual minimum standard, and that there must be an annual minimum standard, that's quite sound. You can improve the detail of it, of course, but conceptually that's good. However, it is the deliberate denial of workers of statutory right to strike, industrial action, and associated with that, the mentally deficient way of working out how to mobilise them to turn that into a reality by doing it in defiance of the law that denies it to them.
As we're coming up to the last bit of the program, I just wanted to note as well that just what hearing you speak makes me think that, like, historically unions have done this work, especially in this country. Historically, unions have carried out mass education programs for the working class, and I wonder just how people could bring that back, because a lot of the agency has been put on individual workers, but also how do we mobilize or organize something, or see more trade union officials organise something like the massively popular Run for Members campaign that the CPSU did last year?
Let's just correct what you were saying slightly. That sort of massive education effort and associated with that mobilisations around wages, that was done by left-wing unions, not unions in general. And the right-wing unions surfed off of what was gained by workers in that.
Yep.
Right? That's really important. Only left-wing unionism can do what we are saying is necessary. Right-wing unionism, by its own history, is not interested in doing that. Now, given we're coming to the final point, despite the critique that I've put forward, the ACTU claim is nevertheless still incredibly important. And I urge, this is an opportunity you see. When you look at the submissions, 34 submissions, one from, of course, the ACTU's plus four, five, six other unions have put in submissions from ACOS and from the employers, of course. It's worth picking out two or three and reading them and looking at the detail in it. The intent of the ACTU is not all stupid. It has actually some quite important things in there that you can. Their whole approach and their line of argument through their submission is to hoist the Fair Work Commission on its own petard, to take the words of the Fair Work Commission from last year's and other decisions and establish how 5% and a couple of other associated claims can be realised using the logic of their own argument. Now, putting aside for the moment the absence of serious mobilisation, education and mobilisation of workers, there is quite a lot of very useful information in there that we as activists need to learn and study. I am against just whinging and complaining about what's going on.
Well, thank goodness for that.
We have to go further and be much better as activists. And I don't care what level of leadership we are in the union. We have got to stop whinging and complaining and move on to studying what is being put forward, picking out and learning about what we can use and learning what we must oppose. And we must do that much better at a grander scale of activism than we've had for a long, long time. Otherwise, the difficulties that workers face in the battle over living standards are not going to go away. They're going to get worse. Now, the final bit of this is that it's all a little bit up in the air because of, you know, what we're going to learn about the numbers on various indicators of the economy and living standards because of especially inflation, because of the war in Iran, against Iran, that we are active participants in and we shouldn't be. So it's going to be a very, very intense period because this, remember, this is the big decision in which living standards under downward pressure from the Reserve Bank and employers can be pushed back. The budget's another one, of course. But where the government is heading on the budget is at the moment is minimal reform that doesn't harm the employers' profit-taking too much.
That's exactly right.
At all about profits, and we need to discuss that. What's going on with profits is actually quite interesting at the moment.
Oh, and we can't go there now. We have to go. We're right at the end.
Okay, well, get me back next week, and let's get stuck into that.
Okay, all right. Talk to you then. Bye-bye, Don.
See you later.